Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In the Constitution, it mandates that only those who are 18 or over hold Irish citizenship and are ordinarily resident in the 26 counties can vote in this election. So, should for the presidential elections this be extended to Irish citizens abroad? Well, to discuss this and the role of the diaspora in our electoral process, it's a pleasure to welcome to the Pat Kenny Show Emma D'Souza, spokesperson for votingrights.ie. What say you, Emma?
Well, I say yes. I think that a really important point here to bring up is that, you know, voting for citizens living outside the state, living abroad, is a global democratic norm. 125 countries and territories do this. It is not controversial. It's actually something that is part of being a citizen. Ireland really is an outlier here, and we do have, you know, previous commitments. We have evidence from the Convention on the Constitution and the Citizens' Assembly that when citizens are given a chance to consider this topic, they support extending the franchise for Irish citizens for the presidential election. Previously, the Programme for Government for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had committed to bringing forward the referendum. They failed to do so, and both parties dropped it from their manifestos, which is deeply disappointing. There is going to be an election this year. I'm an Irish citizen. I live a few miles from the border in Northern Ireland, and I won't be able to have a say in that election. And that is, you know, for me personally, quite challenging, quite difficult to not be a part of that conversation.
So you yourself are living in the six counties?
I am indeed in the beautiful county of Fermanagh. And have been working for quite some time on this topic of voting rights for Irish citizens living outside the state. So it's a deep disappointment to me that this year there'll be an election, knowing that it's going to be at least 7 years before this is even going to be possible for people like myself. And it also strikes me that, of course, as an Irish citizen in Northern Ireland, Irish citizens in Northern Ireland can run for the office of president, but we can't vote for the office of president. I have an American husband. He votes for his president, but I can't vote for mine.
Okay. And tell me, how wide should the net be spread? If someone's in Brazil or Africa, do you think anyone who's a citizen should be entitled to vote?
Well, the good news here is that we have lots of examples, robust examples from other countries who've been doing this for a very long time as to what kind of system you can bring in place. You can't discriminate between citizens. So if you're going to bring in the franchise for citizens living outside the 26 counties, that's going to apply to all eligible Irish citizens. But it's an important point to make that there is a difference between the diaspora and those who actually have Irish citizenship. And we have a very large, diverse, proud diaspora all across the world, but the actual amount of Irish citizens who would be eligible to vote in an election would be a much, much smaller figure. And then there's other ways to look at this, too, in terms of time limits. Some countries have a time limit on how long you can retain the right to vote. Other countries, like the United Kingdom, they actually just did away with their time limit, extending the franchise even more. And British citizens who live outside the United Kingdom can actually vote in parliamentary elections, which is a much more robust legislative body than the Office of President in Ireland. They had a 15-year time limit. They've removed that. Now British citizens living outside the UK can vote in parliamentary elections for life.
Okay. So if I'm living in Wexford or Donegal, I can't vote unless I'm on the register of electors. And you have supplementary opportunities to do it. And it's an annualised thing because you don't know when. There might be a general election or whatever. So how would you compile the register of electors? Would people have to declare? Or is there already a register of citizenships?
Oh, no, there'd be a whole process that would have to be brought into place in terms of registering for abroad. And often, you know, it's not like a very simple process. There will be a degree of bureaucracy involved. You have to have a careful process involved to ensure that this is a robust system, a transparent system for those who are eligible to vote. And what we see is that that's what other countries do. So there's a process in place for registering from abroad, how you cast your ballot, whether that's by postal ballot. Some countries are bringing in other means of voting in terms of electronic ballots. So there's different ways to approach it. And that's a system that had to be brought in place by the Irish government if they brought forward the referendum. And if it was successful, there would then have to be a period of time going over which process we brought into place. And that would take a considerable amount of time to do.
Now, there are two arguments against this. The first argument is that, OK, if you take our population, I'd say the valid vote, if we don't include people living abroad, would be maybe 1.5 million, 1.6 million, depending on the turnout. Given the huge number of intergenerational people who in the 50s, the 70s, the 80s, the noughties going to Australia more recently and so on, how many people, like, could you have more people who would decide the outcome of election who actually don't live in the country than here? Do you have any guesstimate of how many people, A, would be eligible as former citizens or as citizens here, or, and would be inclined to actually register and vote?
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon, reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Well, the inclined to register to vote is a difficult one to answer. We do know from other countries that turnout for citizens who are registering and voting from abroad tends to be quite low. So somewhere really in the region of maybe 5 to 15% that might vote from abroad. We find that those who do cast their ballot, often the ones that are most connected to their home place, most determined to do it, because it's a process. You have to go through the paperwork of doing it. You have to be committed to do it. So a lot of people don't take up that vote, but the ones that do, it's deeply meaningful and deeply important for them that they do so. So I don't think Ireland would be the exception where suddenly there would be a massive surge abroad when we have all these other case studies and there's no evidence of a swamping of the vote in any of those countries. I would say it's not likely that would happen in the case of Ireland. In terms of estimates for those who would be eligible, there was some work done by DFA on this that estimated about 3.1 million Irish citizens living outside the state. Now, that includes Northern Ireland, and in that figure, they included the entire population of Northern Ireland because all are eligible to have Irish citizenship. So there is an argument that perhaps the largest body of actual eligible Irish citizens who could cast their ballot would actually just be up the road there in the north. So the figures are maybe not as big as they seem, and often those who do oppose extending the franchise, who say that there could be a swamping of the vote, they speak about the diaspora, and I like to make the point that the diaspora and Irish citizens who would be eligible are two very different things. If you look to Irish America, for example, most Irish Americans are third generation or older and actually don't have access to an Irish passport or Irish citizenship. I think that's an important point. Also, we know that Irish citizens are still leaving. Young people are still leaving Ireland, trying to find better opportunities, better jobs, an affordable home, and they come back. We can see that almost 30,000 Irish citizens return every single year. So this is about giving people who are living outside the state a connection to their home place. We want them to come home. We want them to see Ireland as a place to come back to. And this gives them a meaningful connection to be able to keep that tie real.
And is it just for the presidential election or for local elections, European elections, Dáil elections that you would favour this?
I think that presidential elections is a really important and symbolic and meaningful referendum that we should have, an extension that we should have for voting rights. The bigger debates around whether or not you could bring in, say, for example, a panel or seats that were specific for Irish citizens living outside of the state is, I think, a conversation for another time, because we can't even seem to move the dial on the debate around extending the presidential franchise, which is actually largely a symbolic office, ceremonial office. So the other debates around whether or not we could actually extend this beyond to have something more meaningful with the legislative body is just so far down the track for Ireland. Even though there are other countries like France that has an overseas panel that has seats for their citizens that live outside of France, there's lots of countries that do have that. The UK I already mentioned in terms of having parliamentary voting rights. But in the case of Ireland, we are still struggling to move the dial on even this very symbolic and ceremonial office of president. So I think if we can get some movement on this, we'll be doing good. It's been going on now for decades, and we know that both parties that are in government now are not very supportive of it anymore.
Okay. The other principled argument against it, you know, in principle for any election in any country, is the old adage, no taxation, no representation. If you don't pay taxes here, like I say this to people about, you know, if you don't vote, you can't complain afterwards because you kind of opted out of the process. But what about that principle, no taxation, no representation?
Yeah, I always find this to be a kind of confusing argument, in the sense that this is the slip on a U.S., you know, the push in the United States around no taxation without representation, right? There is no country in the world that actually attaches taxation to your right to vote. Some people mention the United States as an example of a country that does tax their citizens abroad. But actually, in the 1970s, the United States brought into the Constitution a clear right that you could not be denied the right to vote in the United States or abroad if you didn't pay your taxes. So there is no connection to taxation and citizenship. I think also the important point here is a lot of people actually do still pay taxes, even if they don't live in the state, right? There are people who are cross-border workers, like myself, who contribute to the state. There are people who live abroad who contribute to the state. But I think the bigger point here is that this idea of linking taxation to the right to vote feels deeply undemocratic as a principle. You know, there are people that live within the state that also don't actually have to pay taxes. So are we talking about only those who have a certain amount of taxation can actually have the right to vote? I think it's a deeply, deeply undemocratic and damaging argument to make. And there's no example in the world where that's a principle.
OK, the final point, I'm just reading my notes here, that one of the reasons why the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil government haven't done it, and I'm not sure if they even promised it in the programme for government, is that something you highlighted yourself, that the most likely people who would be eligible to vote numerically and would be inclined to vote are people from Northern Ireland. And it's been alleged that this is actually a political party, political campaign by Sinn Féin, and that ads in the States were taken out by the friends of Sinn Féin. What say you that this is just an attempt to manipulate votes for a Sinn Féin presidential candidate?
Well, I think it was Edna Kenny who was the first to actually bring forward the idea of extending the franchise for presidential voting rights. I do think that there is, as we saw from Simon Coveney's comments a few months ago, where he actually had stated that he believes the reason this hadn't been brought forward by the previous government was the idea that it could result in a Sinn Féin presidency and a fear of a Sinn Féin presidency. So I don't know the merits of whether how much that is deeply felt within the parties, but I think that is not a good principle for how you do politics, right? Because you're talking about potentially denying the right to vote because you might not like who someone might vote for. That's not how democracy works. And I think,
but it's the way politicians work.
It is when they're trying to maintain their own party political power.
Yes. And you've no party affiliation yourself?
No, I don't have any party affiliation at all.
On votingrights.ie has no party affiliation.
No, we don't have any party affiliation at all. We are completely independent.
And so finally then, is it a case that this boat has sailed for the November 25 presidential election, or can it still be done?
No, because it would take quite a bit of time. Well, there has to be a referendum here, right? So there has to be a referendum. There has to be a robust debate, an informed debate about what would happen if we bring forward extending the franchise. And there's a lot of misinformation in the debate. I will say there's a lot of misinformation around the numbers, around what it means, around different things like the taxation point. So there really needs to be a very informed, fact-based debate about what this actually means in principle, about bringing forward this global democratic norm for Ireland, who at the moment is an outlier on the global stage. And then there would have to be brought in place systems in terms of being able to create that register for abroad. So, you know, it would take time to be able to bring that forward. It's not going to happen for the election this year. We will continue to hope and work towards it happening for the next election in 7 years. But as I say, as an Irish citizen living north of the border, it is very disappointing to me that I'm going to have to wait at least 7 years before I might finally be able to have a say on who my president is.
All right. Emma D'Souza, spokesperson for votingrights.ie. Please do 53106. Tell her, do you agree with Emma? But in any event, thank you, Emma, for joining us on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.